Good morning. It's time for a chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The word of the Lord from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of that place Massah, testing, and Meribah, quarreling. Because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wish I had all day to preach on this, but we have 7 minutes. It's not enough time to really do any good work. So I'll start by asking, what do you love most about the Lord? What's the biggest thing? If somebody was to say, "What do you love most about the Lord?" Come on, Valentine's Day is coming. What do you love most about the Lord? What would you say? Don't answer out loud. We're Lutherans. I think most people would say, "Oh, I love His grace. I love the fact that I'm His child. I love the fact that I'm embraced by Him." And what we often find is that the thing that we love most about the Lord is the opposite of the weakness in our theology. So if you really love the Lord's grace, then you tend to neglect His law. If you really love the fact that He holds no sin against you, then you tend to be a little bit of an antinomian. If you believe that the best thing about the Lord is that He's gathered you into a community of saints, then you tend to forget about the fact that you stand before Him. If what you love about the Lord the most is that He gives you structure in life, you tend to neglect the gospel and so on. Among the biggest things that the people of Israel are facing as they cause trouble for Moses before Meribah is that they've forgotten that they're dealing with God and not man. And this is a big problem even for us today. In case it wasn't tracking immediately because you were caught blind by it, this is chapter 17 of Exodus. Chapter 16 is where He makes bread fall from heaven and feeds everybody out in the desert. He's already shown that He can do miracles, just as the Lord, when He fed 5,000 and then fed 4,000 miraculously. He gets into the boat with the disciples, and the disciples, He says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees," and the disciples say, "Oh no, we have no bread." And Jesus says, "Didn't you learn anything? They forget that this God is the one who called them out of the desert. They think they're dealing with people. They think they're dealing with Moses, which is why stoning Moses to death will be a solution to some of their problems. But we do that too. We look at the gospel and we think that the gospel is the answer to our problems with dealing with people. Or we think that the reason that we come to Jesus is because we're having trouble with our marriage or because we need financial resources or whatever else. People often ask when you're in the parish, "Pastor, how do I pray a prayer that God will have to answer about this?" And my answer is always, there is no such prayer except the Lord's Prayer, where you pray, "Your will be done." Because here's the biggest part that we tend to neglect. God doesn't save us simply from failed relationships or halted progress in our life, moving forward in our occupation or our life together or the things that we're trying to do. And outside of Lutheranism, this would nearly be heresy to say. God saves us from himself. Our problem is not chiefly that we can't get along together. Our problem is that the one who created the heavens and the earth can make every blade of grass and every bird and every tree work against us if he wanted to. He could just, by withdrawing thought of us, make us disappear, or he could torture us eternally and no one could stop him and no one could say that he was wrong. We're not facing just some guy who's leading us through life or some organization which is trying to get its arms around us and we're having trouble making that work. We are facing the divine Lord of the universe, and there we have a problem. Because this one makes earthquakes to happen throughout the Caribbean region right now. He allows the fires to burn across Australia and disease to engulf Asia. And don't kid yourself by saying that, "Oh no, that's the devil. God has nothing to do with that." You may remember that when the ELCA was voting on homosexuality, the convention center that they were in got hit by a tornado, and instead of taking some warning, the bishop of the ELCA said, "I don't think God has anything to do with the weather." What happened to the people of Israel when they decided that they were going to take on God? Paul reminds us, he scattered their bodies across the desert. The fact that we love God most makes us sometimes forget that we're dealing with God, who is neither tame nor at our bidding. We're his servants, not the other way around. And until you recognize that fact, you can't get to the gospel. Because the gospel becomes something that you're merely entitled to. Of course he's going to forgive me. I'm so darn lovable, and I'm cute too. No, this is a God who solves our problems by killing his son. When he talks about the unfaithfulness in the world, he says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. I'm always hearing people arguing that that doesn't really mean be afraid. Oh, yes, it does. But it doesn't mean that you can't be loving either. When I was growing up, I loved my father. But I'll tell you what, the last thing I wanted to do was to make him mad at me. I feared and loved Dad. Much more should I fear and love God. And as I do, as I realize where I truly stand and that this is not simply a matter of figuring out how to adapt my human relationships, there I look to the cross and I see that God cannot be controlled. But God gives himself into something that I could never ask for or expect or understand. God's righteous wrath will be answered. but was answered by a son who was not me. My grumbling and my rage at my waters of Meribah, my unfaithfulness as I forget that I had just seen a miracle the day before, is answered as he pours water out of a font of baptism over me to incorporate me into his people so that I might be included in the death and resurrection of Jesus and not die the way that I deserve. But it is not a mark of understanding to fail to tremble when you sin. That trembling needs to drive us back to our knees, to the cross. And there, hearing the words of forgiveness, to realize that there's something that really just happened here. It cost his son his blood. The cross doesn't make your sins insignificant. It gives them a higher significance than you would ever know. The cross doesn't say your sins don't matter. It says they matter more than you could ever understand. That this is the path of love should make us tremble, but really, truly make us rejoice as well. To take seriously what every day would bring and what the opportunity now to kneel before this very one and pray, to realize that the one who is willing to be the object of scorn and wrath is the one who sits at the right hand and intercedes for me, the one whose death and resurrection was given to me in baptism, whose body and blood is given to me from the altar. Where I deserve none of it. This is the heart of the gospel. For all of which it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey him, even as he's risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. I am a death row prisoner who's been set free because the wrong man has been killed. And the judge knows my life. The judge loves me and saved me through a horrible, wonderful act. The opposite of what we love most about the Lord tends to be the thing that we neglect most in our theology. But as we embrace that which we neglect, we can love all the more that which is greatest and truest and most wholesome and helpful. God has given his only Son to save sinners. Who should have been on that cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Sean Found, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.